Some distance from here, Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were herding their calves. While herding their calves, they would play so many wonderful games. In fact, Krishna, who is Gopal, Govinda, who protects and gives pleasures to the cows and calves, in one sense, he used his occupation as a cowherd boy as a wonderful facility to play all day with the gopas and to meet gopis also. How many games the gopas would play together? And all the games ultimately were just to give pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna was playing the games just to give pleasure to all of his friends. In Vrindavan, everything is a reciprocation of pure ecstatic love. In this world, when we play games, sometimes it's competitive, yes? Or self-centered. I want to win. If I win, then people will know I'm very good. Or we play just because we're so agitated and bored, we just want something to do. Yes? Or children play because they have all this youthful, passionate little energy and they just want to just beat each other. Boys beat each other. Girls, they do all nice little things. As far as what I see, I don't know what else. But they play. But in Vrindavan, which is the place that is the origin of all play, it is an expression of pure, unalloyed, ecstatic love. The gopas play so many games with Krishna just to give pleasure to Krishna and Balaram, just to make them happy. And actually, they're having fun because they know that Krishna is happy when they have fun. Yes? Even they're having fun as an offering of love to Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram reciprocate. They want to exchange and see their devotees happy. So yes, in the spiritual world, the play of Krishna and the gopas are exchanges of infinitely pure, ecstatic devotion. Loving exchanges, the knack that cannot be found anywhere in material existence, except in the hearts of those who always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. What to speak of the wonderful pastimes of Nanda, Yashoda and Krishna, or the Braj Gopis? It is the land of Prem. So they played so many games. Sometimes they would play their flutes, dance. Sometimes they would take amalaki or bale fruits and throw them very high in the sky. And then they take another fruit and try to hit that fruit. That was the game. It was a contest. Who can do? One boy would throw a fruit in the sky and then the other boy had to take another fruit and hit that fruit. And if he missed, everyone would laugh at him. And if he would hit the fruit, everyone would cheer and raise their arms and jump. Celebrate. Sometimes they would play football with amalaki or bale fruits. But not the same type of football that you play. Sometimes they would cover themselves, two or three or sometimes even four cowherd boys would cover themselves with big blankets and pretend to be bulls or cows. And then some other boys would do that, and then the bulls would fight one another. Team sport, very nice. Sometimes they would imitate animals, the cooing of the peacocks, the chirping of the birds, the croaking of the frogs. They would imitate the animals in so many ways. In this way they spent all their day in supreme enjoyment with Krishna and Balaram. One day, a demon took the form of a calf. How devious. How the most innocent creature is a small calf. Their little eyes, their tender limbs, you just want to hold them and do so many things. And this calf came just in such a way that he was completely under Krishna's protection. Yes? Completely under Krishna's protection. But Krishna knew his actual mentality. And he turned to Balaram and said, "You see that calf? That is Vatsasura. It's a demon who's come to kill both of us." Balaram. So Krishna walked very quietly. So the little Vatsasura didn't even hear him coming. Krishna just very softly came behind him. And then he grabbed his calf's hind legs and started whirling him in above his head with one hand, whirling him in circle after circle and circle, whirling, 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 until Vatsasura was so dizzy, it died. Now, Krishna's always thinking of pleasing his cowherd boyfriends. So he saw a kapita tree, and the gopas really like kapita fruits. Does anyone know what kapita fruits are? The gopas like them a lot. So he saw kapita fruit, and all the kapita fruits were very high in the tree. So he especially aimed Vatsasura, and he landed right on the top of the tree, and all the kapita fruits fell down, and the demigods showered flowers, and the little boys, gopas, "Well done, well done, well done," and they embraced Krishna, and then they all went and ate kapita fruits. Vatsasura represents the childish mentality in which a devotee is easily influenced by bad association. And in that bad association, we become covered over and greedy for materialistic enjoyment. Now we have read that a devotee should be very simple. In fact, we should be childlike. In Bible, Jesus said you have to become like a child if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. Innocent, simple, childlike. But at the same time, we must have discrimination. This combination makes a devotee very, very pleasing to Krishna. Otherwise, sometimes, in a childlike way, we put our trust in so many different types of people, even materialistic people. And in that association, very subtly and gradually, we become influenced. Sometimes we find that devotees begin to put their faith in various materialistic people with materialistic processes to have better relations, to have more feeling of self-confidence, to do whatever you do to your full potential. Now, to learn certain techniques from people, if it can be used in Krishna service, is all right. But we have to be very careful. We have to have a lot of discrimination. Because if we begin to put our faith in people who don't have faith in Krishna, who don't have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have an impersonalistic or atheistic conception, or basically a sense gratificatory conception, that we not only get their techniques, but we also absorb their consciousness. And we become polluted. We become contaminated. And although we're learning something to use it for Krishna's service, pretty soon we're not even using it for Krishna's service anymore. I remember one devotee. He was a nice devotee. Still is, potentially. Nice devotee. Been around for many years. And he went to some group of people who were teaching all these inner development techniques. And he went to seminars and he was paying a lot of money. And he was going around spreading to the other devotees, "I've never been so Krishna conscious. I've never had such good rounds. I've never had such good relationships with the other devotees. Everybody should take this course." And you have to take so many courses. Seminar after seminar after... And the people who are teaching, they're pious, but they're very absorbed in sense gratification, and they don't believe in the personality of Godhead. So he was canvassing like anything, it will make you a better devotee, a better Vaishnav. Childlike mentality. After a couple years, I was on the phone with him, and he told me his incredible realization that's transformed his entire life. He said, "I have come to the point in my spiritual evolution where whether Krishna is God or not doesn't matter. Whether there is a God or not doesn't make any difference. That is the level of advancement I have come to." He wasn't talking about Vrindavan Ras. He lost his faith. He lost his faith in his guru. He lost his faith in Parampara. He lost his faith in the holy name. He lost his faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam because of a childlike mentality. He wanted to put his faith in someone that was not a devotee. And ultimately, he became divorced his wife, found a young girl, and became greedy for materialistic things, and considers that it's a higher platform than the Vaishnavas. This is a real story. Vatsasura. Vatsasura appears very innocent, very deceptive, very childlike, but in his heart, he simply wants to kill Krishna and Balaram. He wants to kill his faith in Krishna within your heart. So after this happened, it was the gopis. They didn't want to be with Krishna. Gopis was Manasiganga. I think gopis was this. You can make all editorials after. Gopis, I believe, they told Krishna that they didn't want to play with him because he killed a calf. So how do I atone for this? You must bathe in all the holy places. So Krishna came here to Bandiravat, and with the tip of his flute, he pushed it in the ground and created a well. And all the holy places entered into that well. And that well is still here today. Just behind us, it is called Venu Koop. And there's a particular day of the year that the Brijabasis claim if any barren woman drinks the water from that well, she will have babies.
Bathe.
Huh?
They bathe.
Oh, they have to
right.
Bathe.
They have those two little bathing places on the side.
Sannyasis don't know so much about these. We never took so much interest in that aspect of the well. When Krishna was herding cows, he and gopas would often come to Bandiravan to play wonderful pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that in the summer season, which is usually a very, very difficult time of oppressive heat. But in Vrindavan, the summer was just like the spring. So many waterfalls. The waterfalls would make such a beautiful sound that it would cover the cricketing of the crickets. And we're not talking about this type of cricket. We're talking about nice little crickets that sing at night. And the wind was like a thief. The wind would take the cooling, refreshing waters, the mist of that waters, and carry it to the grass and distribute it. In this way, even in the summer, when there was no rains, every blade of grass was rich green. Because the wind would carry the water from the rivers and the waterfalls to the grasses and make beautiful, beautiful, sweet sounds. There was the music of the cuckoos and the bees and the peacocks and the cranes. And Krishna and Balaram would enter into the forest playing upon their flutes. The cowherd boys would decorate themselves with leaves and fruits and flowers and peacock feathers and the rich, colorful minerals of the Vrindavan soils. And the cowherd boys together, they would sometimes dance, and other times they would wrestle, and other times they would sing. Sometimes Krishna would sing, and the cowherd boys would be playing cymbals and horns and flutes to accompany Krishna's singing. And Krishna would be singing, and all the cowherd boys would be playing different instrumentations to accompany him, and they'd all cry out, "Well done, Krishna! Well done! Well done!" And other times, Krishna and Balaram, they would ask the other boys to sing. And cowherd boys would sing and dance, and Krishna and Balaram would be sitting and playing their flutes and buffalo horns and playing different cymbal instruments to accompany their devotees. And they would, Krishna Balaram would tell gopas, "Very excellent, very excellent, very excellent performance you have given us today." The cowherd boys would whirl in circles together. They would be leaping and jumping and hurling and slapping and pulling each other's hair. Sometimes they would play a game where one cowherd boy would go behind another cowherd boy and cover his eyes with his hands. And he would have to guess who it was. And the cowherd boy wouldn't talk. He would have to understand who it was just by feeling his hands over his eyes. And if he guessed the right way, everyone would just be leaping, "Well done, well done, Harivo!" And if he didn't, everyone would laugh. Ah! So many nice games. Sometimes they would make boats and cross the rivers. They would be playing with the fruits. They would swing from the vines. They would jump like frogs. And they would imitate kings. One day, while they were herding the cows, the most dangerous, deadly of all demons, Pralamba, came into Krishna's association. He, like Vatsasura, did it in a most deceiving, demoniac way. He was very, very carefully looking for an opportunity to kill Krishna and Balaram. What a mentality. And he took note that one particular cowherd boy that would come out with Krishna every day was kept home by his mother that day because he had some duties to perform. Pralambasura disguised himself identical to that innocent, simple little gopa friend of Krishna. And he was just doing all the activities, herding the cows and playing and jumping and throwing balls and jumping like frogs and everything like that and singing and playing flute and buffalo horn. But Krishna knew within his heart that this is a demon who has come to kill us. But Krishna pretended he didn't know. And he accepted him as a friend. He said, oh, I'm so happy you have come today. And he embraced him. And then Krishna was thinking, how to kill this demon. And then he had his plan. He called out to his friends, today we are going to play a game where we are going to divide into two different teams. And you can choose, all of you gopas can choose who will be the captains of the teams. And the winner will be carried on the shoulder by the losers. Hari. So who do you think the gopas chose to be the two captains of the teams? Sri Krishna Balaram ki.
Oh, Sri Daoji Maharaj ki.
So they were playing. One game they would sometimes play, it was they would hide. Very nice game. One team would hide from the others. And if anybody from the team found one of the boys, then the boy who was found had to carry the finder on his shoulders and dance around with him for some time and bring him to different places. So they played nice game, and Balaram's team was victorious. Pralambasura took sides with Balaram. No, he took sides with Krishna. So he lost. So Krishna had to carry Sri Dama on his shoulders. And Bhadrasena carried Prishad on his shoulders. And Pralambasura chose to carry Balaramji on his shoulders. Now what is explained is, when they were playing this game, Krishna brought them all here to Mandiravan. He actually brought them all to the Mandiravat tree, because this was a good place for them to get on each other's shoulders. Very, very long, nice shade. So it was from Bandiravat, this tree that we are sitting under today, that Krishna brought them, that Pralambasura put Balaramji on his shoulders. And he started to run, and run, and run. And Balaramji was thinking, where is my friend taking me so far away? He's already crossed the border of where we're supposed to go. So Balaramji became very heavy, like Mount Sumeru. And Pralambasura, he was becoming so strained trying to keep Balaram on his shoulders, he was running more and more and more and more, and then he assumed his original form, a gigantic size. His hair was like flames of fire. His eyes were red like coals. He had large, sharp teeth that were practically touching his very demoniac curved eyebrows. He had a long red beard. He looked like a massive cloud. He had golden ornaments, a golden crown, gigantic trident. Hare Krishna. It says that he looked like a gigantic cloud. His ornaments were like lightning, and Balaram on his shoulder was like the full moon. So Balaram was thinking, how is it that my friend has changed in every way? Balaram got angry with him. Not because he was a big, huge demon, because Balaramji wanted to play with his friends. They were right in the middle of games, and this rascal was taking him away from his friends. It was intolerable. He became furious. You are taking me, you are separating me from the playful games of Krishna and the gopas. One punch, Balaram with his fist on his head. And Pralambasura, this gigantic mountainous demon, his head just split open and he vomited blood and he fell to the ground dead. Sri Baladev ki!
Sri Daoji Maharaj ki!
And all the gopas cried out, Well done, well done. And then they all are so happy, they embrace Balaram as if he had come back from the dead. And the demigods benedicted Balaramji by showering flowers after flowers after flowers. And the gopas were giving benedictions to Balaramji. Palambasura represents a very dangerous demon that resides within the heart. The inclination to enjoy the opposite sex and the inclination to enjoy profit, adoration, and distinction. This means the inclination for gross and subtle sex. Now, this world, people think this is the goal of life. Yes? Most of the songs, most of the television, most of the movies, most of the books, most of the magazines, most of the products you buy in the market are centered around this enjoyment, Maituna Agar. Such a powerful force, Pralambasura. Very difficult to overcome. And it appears like our friend, like Pralambasura, appeared as Krishna's dear, intimate, lifelong friend. So similarly, these desires appear. The desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, and the desire for other types of physical activities. They promise us happiness, but they cheat us. They kill the inclination for Krishna consciousness within our heart. So we must be very careful. Actually, sometimes I go to California to do some service for Srila Prabhupada's mission. And I meet people from Hollywood. And some producers, some directors, and other people like that. And they're sometimes telling me about movies they're making, spiritual movies. But they say, in order for people to come to see it, we have to put some kind of a sexual scene in it, even if it's not historically correct. I remember when I was a little boy, my parents took me to see the Ten Commandments. And Moses, who's supposed to be a great acharya, he's having an affair. This is not in the Bible. What is this nonsense? But you have to have this. Otherwise, people won't think it's a bona fide movie. Just like a Purana has to have certain ingredients to be bona fide. Hollywood has to have certain ingredients to be bona fide, and this is one of the very main ingredients. Because people have such inclination. The promise of happiness. The promise of pleasure. But Prahlad Maharaj says it's actually the cause of all pain, this attachment. It steals away our inclination for Krishna consciousness. So that is Pralambasura. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains there's two demons in Vrindavan that Balaram killed. Denukasura and Pralambasura. Denukasura, he represents ignorance of knowledge of the soul through materialistic intelligence. And Pralambasura represents the inclination to enjoy the opposite sex and profit, adoration, and distinction, gross and subtle. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains that these two anartas have to be overcome by the endeavor of the devotee. Under the guidance and instruction of the spiritual master, the devotee must endeavor with all sincerity. It's not just grace. Grace in this sense, the grace of Balaram will come. The grace of Balaram through Guru Tattva will come to exterminate these demons forever, providing we really, really struggle and endeavor to give up the propensity for profit, adoration, distinction, and gross sense gratification. This endeavor, praying to Guru and Krishna, and chanting the holy names, we can become blessed by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that when you water the seed of devotion, many weeds grow with it. And just like Pralambasura seemed like a trusting, loving friend, similarly, these weeds of profit, adoration, distinction, and gross enjoyment appear to be something very wonderful that may even give us happiness and help us in our spiritual life. And we don't discriminate. And we water the weed, we water the weed, we water the weed until the weed chokes and cripples the devotional creeper. So we must be very enthusiastic to cast away kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava, mahashano mahapapma, vijayanam yavairanam. Krishna tells in Gita, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy, which is later transformed into wrath when it is unfulfilled, which is the sinful enemy of the conditioned soul. We must give it up. Therefore, we must, under the Guru's instruction, follow proper regulative principles. And simultaneously, as we're avoiding further contaminating our heart, we clean our heart and access grace by our humility and our chanting the holy names. If we are humble, Balaram in the heart, and the spiritual master will remove these demons. In a few minutes we'll be going to a place very close by called Bamsivat. You remember we went to Bamsivat in Vrindavan. There is Bandira Bamsivat. Here Krishna would climb that tree and play his flute and call his cows. And also Krishna would call and meet the Braj Gopis here and perform Ras Lila. Very, very holy, sacred place near the bank of Yamuna. When Krishna was leaving Vrindavan with Akrura, Sridhama, the beloved brother of Sri Radharani, he was in so much distress that Krishna was leaving. He's asked Krishna, when are you going to return? And Krishna said, either tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. And Sridhama said, well, I will wait right here until you return. And he waited and waited. One day, 2 day, 3 day, 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, 1 year, 2 month, 2 year, 3 year. He waited and waited and waited. And if you go to Bamsivat, there's a deity of Sri Dhamma who's still waiting. Still waiting for Krishna to return. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roamed through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, he came to Bandiravan. And he went to Bamsivat. And there he saw the deity of Sri Dhamma still waiting for him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just started running toward him. He said, Sri Dhamma, Sri Dhamma, Sri Dhamma, I have come, I have come, I have returned, here I am. And he embraced Sri Dhamma. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! So here at Bandiravan, a place of unlimited beautiful pastimes under the Bandirabhat tree, we are assembled. Is it not a beautiful, charming place? It's the place of Sakyaras, Madhuryaras, Vatsalyaras. All the rasas are taking place here at Bandiravan. Let us offer our prayer, our very sincere and humble prayer, that we can, by our sincere efforts, attract the affection of Srimati Radharani. By pleasing Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, and sincerely hear and chant the glories and names of the Lord, we can attract the affection of Srimati Radharani. And it is that affection that is the only means by which we can overcome all obstacles. Let us pray for that causeless mercy. Let us beg for that causeless mercy. And when that mercy comes, then the actual taste and realization for these beautiful pastimes will awaken in our heart. And then our eternal occupation will be to spontaneously and ecstatically chant the holy names. Now hear from His Grace, Dina Bandhu Prabhu. I'd like to, dear God sister, please stand up. She is from Germany. Her wonderful husband, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu, has translated Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jaiva Dharma, Shikshastakam, and so many wonderful of books of the Goswamis and Bhakti Vinod. Let us very enthusiastically welcome her to our yatra.